the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is a time of preparation. The word itself, Adventus, means coming towards Him. We're coming towards Him in 4 Sundays, 4 weeks. Hence our first Advent candle is lit. And our Lord, this first Sunday, reminds us, stay awake. In other words, be vigilant. How vigilant certain politicians have been in Victoria, I know not, but there's been a change of the political strata in Victoria. And much preparation has gone into that. People have been vigilant, others have not. And how much do we see on the TV about vigilance regarding bushfires this season? Seems to fill the news and papers often. Be vigilant, stay awake. And I'm sure now we'll hear about cricketers wearing bigger and better helmets. Be vigilant, stay awake. It's only when we're caught out do we feel a sense of loss, a sense of we missed out. We missed the train, we missed the plane, we fell ill. Something has happened, we weren't vigilant. So stay awake. Stay awake with regards to the coming of God. And God comes in a threefold manner. In fact, all good things come in three: persons, space and time. We live in a world of spatial dimensions, height, width and depth, three-dimensional. We keep having to push this into the minds of the generation growing up today. Just a mother after Mass was complaining last night. Her younger sister was visiting and her face was in her phone the whole night. And I said, remind her that's not reality. iPad, phone, whatever virtual world you are embracing is not reality. You push the phone, the person in the phone can't push you back. In fact, there's no person in the phone because the phone is two-dimensional. It's height and width, there's no depth, and therefore it's not real. Reality has three dimensions, and reality has three time phases. In the Greek, we hear about chronos, kairos, and eternal time. Chronological time, which we live in, nearly we're in summer in the year 2014. That's chronological time, always moving forward. Never stops and never goes back. Then there's kairos time, events. First Holy Communion, it's an event. I can't remember when my first Holy Communion was, chronologically speaking, but I do remember the event. It's burnt into my memory. It was significant, as I'm sure certain Christmases have been to you, or certain occasions. It might have been a wedding, it may have been a funeral, it may have been some moment that you can't forget. You might not forget, you might forget the date, but you won't forget that moment. That's called a kairos moment, event moment. And of course, there's the eternal time that beckons us after death. So there's three kinds of time, three measurements of time, past, present and future. And the Lord is coming to all three time phases. We think about the past. The next 4 weeks focuses on how our Lord came. He came as a saviour. The world needed to be saved then and now. Come, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a godly name. Come, because we are a people in exile, mourning at loss, awaiting a Redeemer. He came in the past and he shall come in the future. The past was a private encounter. Only two types of people were invited to the birthday of Christ over 2,000 years ago. The wise men and the shepherds. Those who knew nothing and those who knew, they did not know everything. They alone were invited. Not the social people, not the politicians, only those two classes. That was a private encounter, the first coming of the past. When our Lord comes in the future, we don't know when, and people have all types of theories out there. In fact, at Aldi during the week, I was getting my groceries, and I won't say who it was, but I met someone there, and as the things are thrown at you at Aldi, you have to kind of put them in the bag, and everyone's frowning if you don't do it fast enough. That's one of those moments. Anyway, he was saying to me, "Are you ready?" And I said, "What for?" He said, "Have you been reading?" And I said, "I have." "What have you been reading?" He said, "I've been reading Revelation." He said, "Oh, I've been reading other things." And he said, "Are you ready?" And I said, "What for?" I was thinking, "Am I have to pay now?" He said, "2015, Father, you know what's happening, don't you?" He said, "2015? Yes, I do." He looked at me and gave me that look of, "You know too?" And winked. And we went. I really still don't know what's happening in 2015. If someone says Christ is about to come and Aldi has a special, don't go there. But people will say he's coming. They're expecting his coming. And he will come. And when he comes, we don't know when he will come. He's told us that. But he'll come and it will be public. When he arrives, everybody will know. That's a public coming. That's at the end of time. And during Advent, we think about both comings and both going, well, his coming and both occasions. There's only one coming that's now missing. That's the past and that's the future. We now are in the present. And his coming. He's coming for one of you soon. I say that because someone in some church somewhere won't be here next year. The reality is, he comes, please God, at that moment of death. When the door opens, when life here has ceased, we please God, we face Christ. We face mercy and not misery. And that's a coming we don't think much about. We want to embrace Christ at that moment. And we can't do that, nor can we celebrate his feast at Christmas unless we substitute the silly season for the sacred season. The silly season is when we eat too much, drink too much, and spend too much. Then on Boxing Day, regret it, especially Boxing Day night. And then we have to have our detox program, put the budget back in place, and sort out things for the following year, or the next year. If we make this, however, a sacred season, then we start feasting on Christmas, and the season goes into the new year. And to make this season sacred, not silly, we do three things. Something for the body, something for the mind, and something for the soul. Firstly, for the body. We should give up something during Advent, something we find pleasure in. It might be TV, it might be soft drink, it might be beer, meat. Give it up so that when you feast on the birthday of Christ, it really is feasting. If you give up nothing, then you get nothing. Fast now, feast then. So make a sacrifice of something during Advent for your body. Or go for a walk each night and take your rosary beads along with you. As you walk, talk to God. Secondly, we do something for our mind. We need to know more about the coming of Christ back then and in the future. We can't know much if we just look at the television because there's not much on the box. Like it's next to nothing. And we need to know so much about our faith. For example, do you know why we have a Jesse tree? Who was Jesse? The father of David. What's the father of David got to do with Christmas and the Christmas tree? Because the Christmas tree goes back to the Jesse tree. Or take, for example, Santa. Santa Claus is everywhere. Just drive around at night and look at all the nativity houses or Christmas scenes set up. There are none. They're largely all about Santa. One place I counted 13 Santas. 13! I'm sure there'll be 20 before Christmas is here. But what's it all about? Well, fact leads to legend, and legend leads to myth. Santa Claus is all about St. Nicholas. Nicholas, it's his feast day on Saturday. And there are over 2,000 churches dedicated to this real, actual person, St. Nicholas, in Eastern Europe. In fact, the patron saint of Russia is St. Nicholas. He was a 4th century Catholic bishop. He was at the Council of Nicaea, where we have the creed, which we'll say in a few moments' time. He signed the actual document. He has become Santa Claus, or rather, Santa Claus has taken over the life of Nicholas. And we need to sort that out so that our children realise that Christ is the reason for the season on Christmas morning. More and more Australian children are waking up thinking it's all about presents, me and Santa today. And that's not why we have Christmas. Christmas means we go to Mass in honour of Christ on his birthday, not Santa Claus. At the same time, we ought to separate the two but realise where it all happens. As you know, Santa is Anglo-Saxon for saint, and Klaus is the shortened version of Nikolaus. So Santa Claus, in fact, it's an 11th century idea, goes back to the German 9th century of Father Christmas. Father Christmas is a German Eastern European custom that on the 6th of December we exchange gifts, or rather children receive gifts, in memory of the Bishop St. Nicholas, who was very generous to children. And the Germans adopted him in many places in Germany. They still give presents to children on his feast day, next Saturday, not on Christmas Day. The Anglo-Saxons adopted St. Klaus as that same person. And slowly he crept into the Christmas season. Then, of course, 100 years ago, very few Australians would have woken up on Christmas Day thinking it's all about Santa. But since America, media and Coca-Cola, about 50 years ago, the push was on. And through commercialisation and countless films and movies, Santa has eclipsed now not just St. Nicholas, but also Christ himself. So it's good to unpack this and explain it to our children. There's nothing wrong with having the Santa theme at home, but make sure they realise who it's all about, the reason for the season. And that's just one way we can learn more about our faith during Advent. Something for the body, something for the mind, now for the soul. To prepare ourselves for the past, the present coming of Christ and the future, we need to have more soul food. Soul food is prayer time. And with our Adoration Chapel here in town, it's a marvellous opportunity to spend time with the Lord. Waste time with God. Because one day, you'll want to be with him. And if you don't get to know him now, how will he know you then? And also, we need to dry clean our soul, seek God's mercy and forgiveness and reconciliation, confession, in this Advent time. It's a marvellous time to sort things out, especially relationship issues, and seek his forgiveness, his peace of soul and joy of the heart. That comes from the sacrament of mercy, penance, confession, which we have before Masses. So make that an item on your list, a must-do during Advent, and you won't regret that happening to your soul, and also that extra prayer time with God. For in spending time with God, we prepare well for his coming of the past, the future, but most importantly, the present, so that he's always dwelling in our hearts and homes. Stay awake, be tuned in, body, soul and spirit, body, mind and spirit, to the presence of Christ. And then he will be present to you, and you shall give him a great present on his birthday, the love within your hearts. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.